I want us to talk to about this morning a very special lady, a lady that was in fact a widow. And this story is in Mark chapter 12. So you might want to get your Bible out and we'll follow that together. Mark chapter 12. And I want to read it. It's a story about the widow's mite. And you've got mite spelled up there. Some of you think, oh, I can't spell mite. No, it's the right mite that I've got. Not M-I-T-E, which is the coin, but the widow's mite. But I want to talk about this widow. And it's quite a remarkable thing that this widow actually makes her way into the Bible. And the Bible says, it makes it very clear, it says there's so many, many things that if we were to write down every single thing that Jesus did, all the miracles, all the things, all the interactions that Jesus had, it says there wouldn't be enough books on the earth to contain all of the wonderful things that Jesus did in that short time that he was walking on the earth. That's what the scripture says. But there's this particular little lady that the Lord picks out, and she's included in our Bible. So I want to read this story and talk about the widow, this wonderful widow in Mark chapter 12. And so I just want to read this passage through, then we're going to talk about it together. So Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and 44. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money in the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of her wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. Father, we just pray, Lord, as we look at this remarkable woman, Father, that's made it into our Bible, Lord, that we would learn some lessons from her. So, Father, we just commit this to you, Lord, that you'll open the scripture to us, Father. And, Lord, for every person, Lord, that you want to speak to us and challenge us, Lord. So, Lord, we open this to you now in the mighty and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about this remarkable lady. Just a little bit of background. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's been walking around the temple courts. There's a number of interactions that have already happened with Jesus as he's been walking around the temple. The Pharisees have come up different times, tried to ask him different questions, trying to trap them. One of the ones, Mark 12:17, it comes up on the screen. They actually came up to him and trying to get Jesus in trouble with the authorities. And so they come up and ask him about taxes. And they ask him in Mark 12, they come up, they set him up and trying to trap him, that if they can trap Jesus in some way, have been trying to undermine the government, have been involved in insurrection or something, then they've got him. And then, so they set Jesus up and they said, is it right to pay taxes, Jesus? And here they are in the temple courts asking, is it right to pay taxes? And then Jesus is an absolute genius, full of wisdom, as we know. He says, well, get me a coin. And so they go get a coin. And then he says, well, have a look at the coin. And he says, whose likeness or inscription is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And then Jesus uttered these words in Mark 12:17. He says, then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And so amazed by the answer that they went away, that they're just trying to trap him, trying to find something to get Jesus on. And that's a great little principle that Jesus lays down before we even start talking about this widow. We give under Caesar what is Caesar's, so we pay our taxes. We're good, honest, honourable citizens. We don't cheat on our taxes. We do what is right. We pay what we need to pay, and we do what we got to do. We do what is right, and we also give unto God. And so when I get my money, I've got a certain amount of money, I'll give unto Caesar, Caesar's, I'll pay my taxes, and then I'll pay my tithes out of that. And so I don't pay taxes and then see what's left and then give unto God. I say, well, this is how much money I'll give to Caesar, what is Caesar's, and now I'm going to give to God's, what is God's. And it's a great principle of giving that Jesus establishes. We want to then talk about this little old lady. It's quite amazing that if you have a look at the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one in every six verses Jesus talks about money. There's talking about money in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one in every six verses. You think, Lord must be wanting us to grab a hold of something here. One in six verses in that area, because it's an area that is so close to everybody's heart. It certainly is an area that is close to our hearts. So a lot of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those three books particularly, those three Gospels, 1 and 6 verses are devoted to it. So I want to have a look at this widow and have a look at the widow's mind. One of the things that amazes me is that Jesus is in the temple. Now the temple is not a tiny little thing. They're not just walking around the perimeter of our church building. It's quite impressive, massive courtyards surrounding the temple. And there's many places where Jesus could have gone and sat down and to have a rest. You know, he's been walking around talking to people, Pharisees coming up, challenging him on this, trying to challenge him on that, trap him on this, trap him on that. And he's walking around and he could have sat down anywhere just to sit down and have a rest. But where does it say? It says that Jesus, he sits down, and I don't believe it was just walking around and just, I think Jesus was actually very deliberate in everything that he did. And he sat down, it says, opposite the place where the offerings were being put in. He could have sat down anywhere in those temple courts, but he went to the very place where he knew the people were giving, because it says so much to him about where the heart of people was. And really that speaks to me that Jesus was actually watching their giving. And when we give, we always say, well, look, what I give, well, that's between me and God. And it is. It is between you and God. It's not between me and you and God. It's between you and God when we give. But quite often when we say, oh, that's between me and God, quite often when we say that, we're saying, well, everyone else but out. But also sometimes people are saying, they forget that God is actually watching. God actually watches us with our money. Jesus actually watches us. The Lord watches us and sees, how do you handle the finances that you were given? He actually positioned himself in such a place that he could watch and see what were people doing with their money. Because he was able to see from where they put their money. He actually saw where their very heart was. So Jesus was very interested in giving. And certainly God is very interested, and he's watching us in what we give, what we do with our own finances. It's between me and God, yes, but it's certainly between God, and God is incredibly interested in our giving. Devoted a lot of the first three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three Gospels, to that area. Why is he so interested? Why did Jesus sit down? He could have sat anywhere. There's many people, many places he could have gone, even in the grounds of that temple area. But he sat down, and he was interested in that. And then we read the story of this widow that Jesus is sitting down. He's watching people. We don't know how long Jesus is sitting there for. He could have sat down there for 10 minutes. He could have sat there for an hour. He could have sat there for half the day. We really don't know how long Jesus was sitting there, but he was watching. Jesus was watching very closely. He was watching who was coming, and he was watching what they were doing with their money. Jesus was very interested in this process. And so we don't know how long that he's there, but he makes an observation. He sees some people that are fairly wealthy people, and he's certainly not down on them at all. He's not down on the wealthy people. He wasn't putting them down. But he actually honors this widow because he sees something within this window. But he is in this widow. So he's standing there and sitting there just watching, and people come and they come and they put up front. Some people come in. It says they threw in large amounts, threw it in. And he's watched that. He's seen these people come. And then he watches this widow come. Now Jesus obviously knows that she's a widow because he describes her as such. And I don't believe she was walking around with an I'm a widow t-shirt on. I think it was very obvious, not only to Jesus, but to everybody, even the disciples, that this woman was a widow. And I would presume that she was probably an older person, an older. You had to be, before you could be put, when the giving instructions in the book of Acts about, or even Paul, when he's talking about looking after widows and how you look after widows, because there's no social security system. You can't go on the pension. There was no old age pension for this widow to be on. And so she was a widow. She was probably older because they encouraged the younger ladies to marry. If you're under 60, get married. They encouraged them to be married. And so she was most likely an older lady that was there. And it was quite clear that she was a widow. Maybe because it was the way that she was dressed. Sure, widows would not have been in those days extravagantly dressed. She must have had very simple clothes on. Most people wore fairly simple things. But what she was wearing was in such a way that Jesus could see that she's a widow. Now, I don't believe he was just using a word of knowledge or the Holy Spirit telling him. I think it was quite evident and obvious to everybody that this lady was a widow. I picture her as maybe a little shriveled up little old lady that's coming there and shuffling her way up to the the place where they put it in, and then she goes in and she puts her coins in. I want to talk a little bit about how she does that. But it's clear that she's a widow. And so that if she's got no husband, she's got no means of support. She's got a son was very important to have a son, because your son, once your husband dies, your son will look after you, they'll look after you. But she goes there on her own. She's not going there with a whole family group to give as a family, as they'd come to do that. She's actually there on her own. So maybe she doesn't have a family. Maybe she does, but maybe she's struggling. And I think this lady is struggling very much, because Jesus describes her as a poor widow. Not just a widow, we'd accept the widow to be poor, but he describes her as a poor widow. And so I think this lady is in a fairly desperate situation. And maybe some of us are here in that. Maybe not just in this area of finances, but maybe there's other areas in your life today when you think, well, maybe my finances are okay, but man, I feel poor in some ways and I'm struggling. And I can relate to this widow, because maybe she was a lonely widow. Maybe she didn't have that companionship that perhaps that she would like to have. Maybe there were some physical problems that she was struggling with as well. Maybe some of us can relate to this lady. This lady that Jesus picks her out, out of however many countless people coming, he's observing, watching carefully everybody, watching what do they do with their money, watching them how they handle their finances, watching them even as they give. But he singles this lady out. And what he makes this incredible comments about her, Jesus said, he makes this observation, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more in the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. So what Jesus is honoring in this lady is, in the grand scheme of things, you've got wealthy people that are putting in large amounts of money, and she's putting in two small coins. Now, two little small copper coins, we don't even have them here in Australia anymore, although I think I've got still somewhere a big thing of copper coins somewhere that probably actually, if they actually were real copper, they'd probably be worth something. We don't have the 1 and 2 cent pieces anymore. I remember as a kid with 2 cents, you can actually get a lot with 2 cents. I used to be able to get a good size bag of mixed lollies for 2 cents. I used to get 20 cents for my lunch. I could buy a pie for with my 20 cents. I used to buy a pie. I used to buy a drink. I used to buy a Sunny Boy. Always had a Sunny Boy, those frozen, frozen Sunny Boys. Well, those older people are going, yes, yes. The younger ones are going, what's a Sunny Boy? I used to be able to get one of those. And then I'd always have 2 or 3 cents left over after all of that. And I was allowed to do what I liked with. Well, 2 cents, I could buy a nice big bag of lollies. And fantastic. Now you probably, the same bag of lollies would probably cost you $3 or more these days. But as the years has gone on, the value of those two cents has certainly gone down, and it's not really worth a lot. I remember the time when my brother, when maybe several years later, he went off to the milk bar and he plonked 2 cents down on the counter, and he said to the guy at the milk bar, can I have 2 cents worth of mixed lollies, please? Which the guy behind the counter then plonked down two lollies and said, mix them yourself. So all of a sudden, it was 1 cent a lolly. With 2 cents, you could get heaps of lollies. And so the value of that. So that these two little copper coins, this couple of cents, is in the grand scheme of things, in terms of the difference that it would maybe make even to the financing of the temple and all of that, in the context of that, people putting in gold, and she's got two little coins, two little mites, these 2 cent coins. But Jesus wasn't actually looking at the actual value of it. When Jesus looks at what we give, and this is not just talking about in our money, this is talks about our time, every area of our life, that what Jesus looks about, he looks at how much does it cost you to do that. If I'm a multimillionaire, I don't know any multimillionaires personally, but if I was a multimillionaire and I came up and out of my multiple millions, let's say if I was a billionaire, who wants to be a billionaire? I can't even conceive being a billionaire. It's a lot of money, a billionaire. If a billionaire comes in and puts in $100,000, then that's probably just lunch money. It puts in all this money from a multiple billionaire. But a widow comes in, and all she has in the entire world is 2 cents, and she comes in and puts that in. Then Jesus looked at that and said, this lady, she's given far more. She has given far more. Because when the Lord looks at our giving, and he's watching our giving, he's not so much looking at the amount that we are giving, but certainly what he's looking at is the cost. How much is the sacrifice in what we give? And that's an important principle, the value of the sacrifice. That's what Jesus commended her for. She didn't have a lot of money, but she made a huge sacrifice, an enormous sacrifice. And when Jesus is watching our giving, when he's sitting there and watching, he's looking to see what is our level of sacrifice as we give. Is it a huge sacrifice for this little lady? Her 2 cents in the grand scheme of things against mounds of gold or whatever else, but it was what it cost her. And Jesus commended her heart because it was a sacrifice. She was able to give so much. She sacrificed. And that's what's so important in what our heart is. God looks for us in our time. Do we give time that I've got spare time? Am I just filling it in? Or actually, when I make time, I'm actually sacrificing of myself in serving or loving or caring or helping or outreaching. Is there a cost to me in that? That's what the Lord looks for. He always looks for the sacrifice. It was a small amount, but it was a huge cost. And that's really what really makes our giving worthwhile. Mother Teresa says, if you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. I think that was a very wise comment from a lady that gave a whole life, gave everything dealing with the poor. If you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. And that's true. If I have something that I'm going to throw this away, oh, I don't want to, going to throw this jacket away, does it fit me anymore? I'm just going to throw it away. I won't throw it away. I'll give it to you. Now, have I given it? Well, yeah, well, maybe I have, maybe I haven't. Maybe I disposed of it in a nicer way. Maybe it was wasteful to throw it away, but if I've given it to you or disposed of it in this way, maybe it's a nicer thing to do. But really, it cost me nothing to do that. But when it cost us something, I remember a few times, one of the first times I went on a missions trip, I had my favourite Australian hat. I loved my Australian hat, my little Australian cap, because I was an Aussie, I wanted to wear my Australian cap. And I really liked that cap. It was just a silly cap. It was probably not worth a lot of money, but it was my cap, and I really liked that cap. And I remember going there on one of those trips there, and one of these kids just really loved that cap. They really wanted it because it was an Australian. I'll buy him another one. I'll get him something else. And he really wanted that particular cap. And so I thought, all right. So I graciously said, okay. Joyfully, I gave it to him in the end, and he was just like, I'd given him $1 million. I think he would have appreciated that cap more than $1 million. So I actually gave him my cap. Now, if I had 10 caps, and he's like, oh, here's, yeah, look, no, I don't need none. I've already got 10 here. Here's my cap. Have I given it to him? Yeah, in a way I have. But when it actually costs us something, something that actually means a lot more, isn't it? And for this widow, this was costing a lot for us. So the Lord actually looks at the value of our sacrifice. Now, we have to be wise in our giving. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, it says, on the first day of the week, Sunday, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. So I'm not saying to you, oh, quick, go home, empty out all the money you've ever got. You're not going to have any groceries this week. You're going to live by faith. No, that's foolishness. It's in accordance with our income. And so we've got to be wise in our giving. You need wisdom in that. Don't give out of emotional things. You're giving out of obedience. You're giving out of wisdom. You're giving out of what God has called you to do, but never out of emotionalism. It's in keeping with your income. So if you're not a billionaire, we don't, you know, don't come and put in $100,000. But if you are a billionaire, yeah, come in twice. That's great. Fantastic. But it says to be wise, give according to our means, according to our income. It's what it costs us. If you're on a pension, giving 10% of your pension, the amount might be less, but really that's a bigger sacrifice for someone to give 10% of their pension than someone giving 10% of $10,000 a week. Not that I know anyone who earns that. But the principle is right. We give unto God, and he values the sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3, and verse 13, it says, out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty. It's amazing. You can have extreme poverty and overflowing joy at the same time. Out of their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. For I testify, they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. And our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. It all comes back down to the sacrifice. How much does it cost us? Some that are in a position to give more should give more. And those who aren't, they give according to their means. And that's why the Lord gives us an indication. Well, how much does it be? Well, the Lord teaches us about tithing 10%. And so we know that there's a sacrifice. That's what the Lord values in our giving, in our service and all of the things that we do. But I've called this the widow's mite, and I'm not talking about the coin. I really think that why is Jesus really championing this lady? This maybe I'd see her as a little old lady, and she probably was. She's a widow, and she's in desperate circumstances, desperate circumstances. And why does Jesus champion her? Really, what is her mite? And I think the thing that really says, the statement that Jesus is applauding, as this woman comes, and she's giving everything that she has, everything that she has to live on, and as she puts it down, I think that she would have just held it for a moment. I think she would have just paused for a moment. The other one's just throwing it. I think she would have paused for a moment. This is everything I live on. And our money is significant because it represents our life. It's our life in another form, as Dr. Abel Thomas shared with us. It does. It represents your life because you expend time, part of your life, to earn the money. It's the most powerful symbol that we have of our life is our money. And so I'm sure that she didn't just carelessly put it in, but she thought for the moment, this is everything I have. This is everything. But Lord, as I'm putting this down here, she was making a very strong announcement, a very strong declaration, which I believe really the heart of what Jesus was applauding, what he was honoring, what he's drawing attention to. And she was announcing her dependence on God. She was saying, God, I depend on you. She doesn't have anything else. She's poor, she's destitute, but she gave, and it was a sign and a symbol of her dependence on God. And I believe that's what the Lord was applauding in her, that she was dependent on God in every area of our life. And that is so important. That is the heart that God is looking for every one of us. God watches us and wants us to see, how much are you really depending on me? And sometimes when we've got nothing, well, we have to depend on him, but it's when we have a bit more than nothing, and every one of us has more than nothing. Very worst we can fall down is to a pension, but none of us live on the streets. None of us like the third world countries where we just don't have food to eat. We don't eat some days. You maybe have a good meal a week and maybe just have a few other little scraps. None of us are in that sort of situation, and some other countries face that. We're well looked after. But she has so desperate, in her desperation, she cries out to God, and she was saying, Lord, I depend on you for my life. I depend on you for my life. And is that the heart of every one of us, Lord? At the end of the day, we sang it. We sang it this morning. We said, Lord, I am nothing without you. But is that really the cry of our heart? Lord, I'm nothing without you. I have nothing without you. Because that's the heart that the Lord applauds. People that are depending upon him. Not depending on social security. Not depending on a boss. Not depending on a job or a business. Not depending, but saying, Lord, I'd actually depend upon you, Lord. I depend upon you, Lord. My life is in your hands, Lord. I gave you my life, Lord, and I'm depending upon you. And that was the sign. That was the symbol. That was the very thing. Her heart of giving, that the Lord applauded her and said, yet she depends. She's depending on God. And that's what she is doing as she's giving. Not making a big announcement with a trumpet blast, say, look at me. No, she comes up quietly. And it was very public the way that they did their giving there. We just put a bag around. No one really sees. Or we do direct debits or whatever we do. No one really knows. It was very public because Jesus was there. He could see. But as she put it in there, he commended her, not because of the amount, but on her heart, which says, I depend upon God. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We quote that all the time. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is with us. What is the context of that? What is the context? It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. So few people are content with what they have. You know, they got the plasma when they came out. Now they want an LCD. Now, LCD is obsolete technology. Now they want the little LED one. And then that'll come out, and that'll be obsolete in another 3 or 4, 5 years' time. And we always want more. We're never happy with what we've got. We always want something else, always want something more. But he says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? How can we be content? How can we contend? How can a poor widow who has no husband, I don't know what family she had. Maybe she had some family. We don't know. But really has nothing, absolutely nothing. And yet she can have a contentment, be content in her own heart. It's because the Lord says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's just an amazing thing. We always lived in that in our lives. At the end of the day, don't be hung up what you don't have. You lose in life if you worry about what you do not have. But you win in life when we concentrate on what we do have. And what do we have? We have the Lord who will never leave us and never forsake us. How can we be downcast? How can we be wanting when we've got the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, be content with what you have. Be content. Keep yourself free from the love of money. There's the warning in 1 Timothy 6. I won't bring it up on the screen. I'm not going to talk about it this morning. But it talks about godliness with contentment. It has a great gain associated with it. Talks about people being quick and want to get money quick, and people piercing themselves through with many griefs trying to get rich. And it actually causes a piercing, it says, of a grief that causes in them. But godliness with contentment is great gain, the scripture says. Be content with what we have, not always trying to get more, always trying to get more to consume on ourselves. This little widow, she only had a tiny little bit, but she gave everything that she had, and she was dependent upon God. How dependent are we on God at the end of the day? Don't be pushed into a place of dependence. But where you are now, say, Lord, I depend upon you, Lord. My life is surrendered to you. And Lord, everything that I have and everything that I am, which is everything we've just been singing this morning, but I actually mean that, Lord, and I live that in my life. It's so important. And so we have this little widow. So it denounced her dependence upon God. But the other thing is, one of the things of our theme for the year of Grow is worshipping together. And Jesus sees this little old lady coming up, this little old widow coming. And he allows her to do that. He lets her come up and give, because what she was doing was a reflection of her worship, a reflection of her worship under God. Because Jesus said, she gave everything that she had, everything that she had to live on. And it was a symbol of her worship unto God. And that's really, it is, it's a symbol of our worship to God. We sing and we say, Lord, you're everything to me. Let's keep my wallet away. You're everything to me. Not today. Everything to me. But for this woman, when she was singing, Lord, you're my everything, wasn't certain sections of my life, wasn't certain times of my life, wasn't certain areas when it fitted in, when it was convenient, when it was comfortable, Lord, I'd give you the time. It wasn't in a life, Lord, you know, you can have every area of my life, but don't mess with my money, God. No, no. She actually gave everything to God. Because ultimately, everything we have is God's anyway. Again, we've been singing that this morning. It's all His anyway. It's not how much we give to God, it's how much we keep of His. That's the bottom line when it comes to that. But it was an act of worship, and it reflected that. It reflected that. Her giving was a symbol of the extent to which her life was surrendered on God, depending on God, but how much she valued God, her worth-ship. What is He worth? What is the Lord worth to you? Because Jesus watching, He's watching the giving, and He saw that there were some people that were giving a lot, but they were just giving out of their excess. Wasn't a real sacrifice maybe to some of those people. Wasn't a sacrifice. And so it didn't, when we give and there's no sacrifice, well, it's pretty easy to do. But when you give and there's a sacrifice, you're actually showing the worth of something. When you give your time to someone, when you don't really have time, you're setting aside time for them. You say, well, okay, you're worth it. You're worth the time that I don't have. We give each other time. You're worth it. Despite whatever else, you're worth it. I will give you this time. He's making a strong statement. When you're giving your money and other things to God, you're saying, Lord, I give it because you are worth it. And I'm showing and demonstrating it, not just with my mouth singing it, but I'm demonstrating it that you are worth it, Lord, because I'm giving to you. And I'm giving extravagantly. I'm giving to you. You never give to the church. Never give to the church. I've never given to the church in my entire life. I've given to God my entire life. And the expression of that in Malachi 3 says, bring it into the storehouse. Fine. Well, the storehouse is the church. Fine. But I've never given in my life, given to the church. I always give unto God. Give unto God. And this, and it's worship. It's my worship. And it was her worship. This little old lady, she comes. She says, Lord, you're worth everything to me. And Lord, I'm giving, Lord, because you are everything. It's part of our worship. We know our own heart before God. And we always, one of the tests of our own heart is what are we in this area of our life? Are we giving? Some people might think, well, Lord, I don't have a lot of money, you know, I'm not on a pension. I'm on a pension. I don't have a lot of money. It's never about how much you have. Never about that. It's always about the heart with which you give. Always about the heart. Not about the amount, it's about the heart. You can, that she could have been a stingy widow. She might have had 5 coins and came up there and say, no, look, I've only got 5. No, I'm not going to actually put any in. I can't afford it. I can't afford to live. I'm a widow. I'm poor. How am I going to live? I'm a widow. I've only got 2 coins. How am I going to live on that? Well, Jesus said, well, actually, she showed how much she loved God by what she gave. It's never a matter of the amount. It's a matter of our worship. How much do you value God? How much do you love God? It was a demonstration of that, and it remains a demonstration of that today. How much do you love him? He looks at that. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you're not sure, where's my heart? Have a look. Where do your money go? That's where your heart is. If you spend all your money on whatever it is that you might do, then that's where your heart is. But if your heart's in the kingdom, now other things are good, hobbies, pursuits, whatever we do, all those things are good. Nothing wrong with those things. They're only ever wrong if they take the place of God in our lives. It's the only time those things become wrong, those other things that we might do. But where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so Jesus, who was watching her, saw, I can see for this widow. I can see where her heart is. Her heart is in God. She loves God. Her heart is for his kingdom. Her heart is for him, for who he is. And she gives out of worship to him. And that's the heart that God wants for every one of us. It's an act of worship. It's not just a little cliche that we say when we're taking up the offering. It's actually a very profound thing when we take up the offering. Whether you're doing it by direct debit, whether you do it by however you tithe, it doesn't matter how you do it. It's the heart in which we do it. Jesus always looks upon the heart. And so he saw that in her. And the fact that she put it in carefully, that says a lot to me too. Now maybe because it's just a couple of little coins and she's just putting it in. And now the others, it says, are just threw. It says they threw it in. Now maybe because they're holding so much, they just dropped it in there. I don't know. But it doesn't say so much they dropped it. They threw it in. And sometimes if we're giving and we don't even really notice this, we can be really cavalier about it. Oh, yeah, just chuck it in. No real cost, no real sacrifice. I'll just throw it in. But when it actually costs us something, when there actually is an intentional sacrifice when we give, when there's a sacrifice, well, maybe we just will pause for a moment and we don't just throw it in, but Lord, this is an act of my worship, Lord. I'm doing this because I love you, because you're first in my life. And Lord, my giving, Lord, it's a symbol of my dependence upon you. Lord, it's a symbol of how much I value, Lord, how much I honor you, Lord, how much I appreciate all that you are. And Lord, I give, Lord, in a reflection of this. And so there was a different attitude in the way that it was given. We know it talks about being a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it talks about being a cheerful giver, not reluctantly or under compulsion. She wasn't there with a slave driver behind her saying, come on, up you go, widow, put your money in. It wasn't like that. There's no one there behind her. It was her and God, and her response to God was, Lord, I love you so much. Lord, out of my worship I give unto you. He looks at our heart. He looks at the attitude. Because if we've got a bad attitude about it, it's no value. It's no value to the kingdom, and it's no value to you. If your attitude is wrong in giving, if you're religiously doing it, or you're doing it under bondage or under compulsion, it's really of no eternal value. It really isn't. It's the heart that God is looking at. It's an act of worship. What is our heart? The other thing, just for time, we better keep moving. I need to finish in a moment. One of the things that amazes me is that Jesus didn't stop her. And she's quite obviously a widow. And she only had these 2 little coins. Jesus obviously knew this was all that she had to live on. Now, some of us, if we're sitting there and we're just watching this scene unfold and you've seen all these people come in, and then you see this little old lady bent over coming, and she's maybe got a stick, she's got her coins and maybe hands shaking coming through there, and you know that she's going to put everything that she had to live on, my immediate thought would be, oh, look, it's okay, widow. Look, I know you're in a really desperate situation. I know this is all that you have to live on. Look, I really appreciate your heart in wanting to give, but look, you really can't afford to do that. This is everything you're having to give on. Look, wealthy people have put in a big pile of gold in there, and you only got 2 little coins, just a tiny little coins. Look, really, put the 2 little coins against all of that. Look, it's okay, widow. Look, it's okay. Appreciate your heart. Thanks very much. Off you go. And Jesus could have done that. He could have said that to her, but Jesus actually let her give the money. He let her actually do that. He knew that she was a widow, knew that she was struggling, and yet he not only let her come, but then he also commended her for coming. And that to me, it's because Jesus obviously understood what was happening. Sometimes we look at that from a human point of view and say, gee whiz, you know. But Jesus understood what was really happening there. He understood how important it was, number one, to this lady. It was so important to her because she loved God with all her heart. And she was saying, Lord, I'm depending on you. Lord, I'm depending on you, Lord. You're my provider, Lord. You're my husband. Lord, you're my supplier, Lord. You're the one that meets my needs. And so she's depending upon him. And so Jesus didn't want to rob her of that. He also didn't want to rob her of an act of worship. It's a sacred, profound act of worship as she was giving there. And so Jesus didn't say to her, look, sorry, lady. Sorry, look, you're going through a tough time, so your worship's not good enough. We won't accept your worship. What an affront that would be. Jesus wouldn't put that upon her. Well, you just imagine if someone was trying to worship God and you said, oh, sorry, you don't like your voice. Shut up, don't sing. Do you think they'd be a little bit offended? She was coming to worship the Lord. So Jesus didn't stop her. In fact, he allowed her to come to give and he applauded her. Sometimes we may think, and as we're coming to give, and this goes to every area of our life, not just talking about money, but even our service, we look and we say, gee whiz, you know, looks like there's a big pile of gold here. And we look at our own ability and say, well, what can I offer? What have I have to offer? You know, everyone can do all this stuff, and you look at yourself and you think, well, gee whiz, I feel poor. I feel like I've only got a couple of copper little coins. You know, what can I offer? What service can I do? Some people are really gifted. They've got all this talent and stuff, and you look at yourself and think, I don't really have a lot of talent. I really can't do all of the things that other people can do, and we see ourselves as poor in that. But it's so important that we bring what we have to God. Serve him with all of your heart. Serve him. Don't think, oh, well, everyone else is doing stuff. Everyone else putting money in. They don't really need me. God values your heart of worship. He values incredibly your service. Whatever it is that you do to help extend and build the kingdom, you might feel very poor in that, feel that I don't have enough much to offer. The Lord sees the value in that. He doesn't stop us saying, oh, okay, well, you're not so talented. You can't sing. You can't do that. He says, what do you have in your hand? And what's in your heart? And he wants us to bring it as an expression of our worship to him. It's such an important thing in our hearts and in our lives. And so never see yourself as poor and destitute. Or sometimes you may feel, look, I'm really struggling. And some of you maybe are going through some struggles at the moment and think, well, what can I offer? Man, this lady, excuse me, she's struggling. This poor widow, as she's coming, she doesn't have a husband. We don't know much about the family, whether there is a family. But she doesn't have many, many problems. If you don't have any money, not having any money is a multiple problem. It can affect, obviously, what you eat, affects what you wear, can affect your health, it can affect so many things. Remember, there's so many issues going on in her life. And sometimes we can feel, oh, look, I can't even come. I can't do anything. Lord, I can't even praise you. I'm going through such a difficult time. I can't worship you, Lord. I'm struggling with this, struggling with my health. I'm struggling with relationships. I'm struggling in some areas. And that little widow, we could be like, rather than the widow coming, we could have just not even come. But whatever circumstance that we've come in, we come and we worship God and we give him the very best that we have. That's all that God ever asks for us. Doesn't ask us to be anything's not. He never said to her, oh, look, you've only got your two coins. What good is that? He honored her and said, that widow was a precious lady. And sometimes when we're struggling, the temptation is we're not even going to try. The Lord just says, no, I value what is in you. I value what you bring, whether it's service, whether it's finances, whatever it is, God values that. Even in the middle of our struggle, don't be hiding away as a widow. Say, Lord, no, I'm going to bring the best I can in the circumstances that I'm in. And the Lord honors that. The Lord honors such a heart. And finally, the other thing, I think, well, the other reason why Jesus didn't stop it is that Jesus understood the principle that there is a blessing in giving. Now, he understood that. Now, I just want to caution everybody, never give to get. Because if I give you, here, Leon, here's $1,000. And I want $10,000 back. Thank you very much. There you go. I'll go to Graham, maybe. But if I'm doing that, am I really giving? If I give him $1,000 on the expectation, you know, he puts it in his left pocket, now the right pocket is going to give me $10,000. Have I given to him? Not really, have I? I've just, you know, used that relationship or whatever. And never give to God, because it's a great little investment scheme, you know, a great way. Give to God, he'll bless you, whatever. If you give to God with such a heart, don't ever expect him to bless you. Don't expect him to bless you. Whatever prosperity message that you hear, give unto God that you may be blessed, there's a principle that is true, that you will be blessed. But if your motivation is to be blessed, there's a big problem. There's a big problem. Because if your motivation is, you're coming, I'm the widow, I've only got 2 coins, but woohoo, I'll put it down and then I'm going to take off the bag of gold and off I go. What's the heart in giving in that? The heart is purely selfish, isn't it? And if we give that we may get, then that's self-centered. And we've missed the whole point. There's no reward and there's no value in that at all. It's the heart. But if our heart is, Lord, I depend on you for my very life, Lord. And I worship you, Lord, because you are worth it, Lord. And I honor you, Lord. And I honor you with every area of my life. I put you first. And then there's an incredible blessing that comes upon such a heart. So she was gone away blessed. You think, what about people who put in heaps? Gee whiz, they put in 100,000. Wow, they're going to get $1 million from doing that. No, because maybe their heart was wrong. You can give $100,000 with the right heart, by the way. As I said, nothing to do with the amount of money. It's purely about the heart. And so he honored that in her. We've got to always be careful of understanding that. But there is a blessing. There is a blessing. And Jesus wanted her to be blessed. If he had said to her, no, look, you can't afford it, he would have blocked the blessing of God for that widow. Wouldn't have come to her. He would have robbed her of that. And Jesus is very wise. He understands the principle, because she's coming with a right heart. And he understands that there is a blessing when we give with a right heart. And he was not going to stop that in terms of this poor widow, that she would miss out on the blessing. That's a lesson I've had to learn. Because my heart is to be a giver. I don't like being a receiver. But I've learned, took me a long time to learn about, yet you've got to allow people sometimes to give, because if you don't, you're stopping them from being blessed. It took me a long time to work through that one, because my heart is, I'm here to give, to bless, not to be blessed. But don't rob others. If other people want to bless you, let them do it. Don't expect it, don't demand it, because there's nothing in that at all. But if people are coming like the widow, and even if it's a little thing, you know, maybe they're just giving you a cup of coffee. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Someone wants to bless you, let them bless you, because there's a great reward that comes to them. Luke 6:38 says, given will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so there is this blessing that comes with giving. We never say, look, I can't afford it, or it's not enough, I've only got 2 coins, I'm not going to... No, we follow the principles of God. We're obedient to God. We give because we love him, and we're obedient, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but because he is worth it, and we give as a part of our worship to him. My challenge for you this morning is just, everyone, let's look at our own hearts. Look at our own hearts in this area. Because Jesus watches this area. He's not worried about whether it's a big pile or whatever. He's watching our heart in these issues. What is your heart like? Is your heart one of full dependency on God? And is he number one in our life, really? Is he really number one? You'll know that depending on where your finances, because it's the indicator, a great indicator of where your heart really is in those things. And so we look at our own heart and we say, Lord, I want to be like the widow, Lord. I want to give, Lord. I want to give sacrificially, Lord. I'm not going to be irresponsible. I'm not going to give out of emotion. Lord, I give, Lord, out of my love for you, Lord, out of my worship for you, Lord, and I depend upon you, Father, and that's my heart. And maybe there's some people that are struggling in here today in terms of even your life, in terms of, well, Lord, what can I bring you at the moment? Maybe you're going through a really hard time. I just believe God would want to say to you, just bring your best. Bring your best. That's all God ever asks of you, to do the best you can in the circumstances that you're in. Don't say, oh, I'm poor, I'm destitute. Because we can be poor in many ways. Money is just one area. You can feel emotionally poor. You're really struggling at the moment. You're going through a hard time, maybe a health problem or whatever it is. But I just want to say, just to honour the Lord with where you're at now. Don't say, Lord, oh, I'm too sick, or I'm too this, I'm too that. Lord, I'm still going to love you, still going to honour you, still going to worship you. Not too busy for you, Lord. I'm going to put you first in every area of my life. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe if you're struggling this morning, and maybe you can relate to a poverty, not so much financially, because ultimately none of us are really poor, but maybe you're struggling in that area. I'd like to pray for you this morning. That's a real struggle. Pray for you in that area. But maybe you've looked at your own life, your own gifting, and saying, well, I'm not as gifted as other people. I can't do what they can do. Well, maybe this day God is challenging you to say, look, bring what you can. Bring the gifts that you have and allow God to be blessed by that. Bless somebody. Never put down the small things. Jesus values the small things. He honors the little things that we do. He honors that. And let's determine, Lord, we're going to be faithful in this area for the rest of our lives, so we'll always put you first in this. Father, I'm going to be faithful, consistent, reliable in this area. So let's just pray. Father, as we stand here before you, Lord, can we sing I Surrender in just a moment? But Father, just as we stand here this morning, Father, we just pray, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd have the heart even like that widow. Father, that just depend upon you for everything. Lord, it's easy for us to say. Lord, it's not so easy for us to do. So Father, help us to truly depend upon you for every area of our life. Father, for our emotional strength and our emotional support. Lord, for our need of fellowship, Lord. Well, Lord, that you fulfill needs for those, Lord, who maybe struggle with loneliness. Lord, let them find completeness in you, Father. Lord, for those that are just feeling that they've got nothing to offer, Father, I pray, Lord, that just see, Lord, the value that you place on whatever we have in our hand, Father. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling physically, Father, Lord, that you just touch them. And Lord, they'll still see, even in their struggle, they still have something that they can bring. And so, Father, I pray for every one of us, Lord, that in this area of our life, Lord, it is a symbol, Father, but it's the heart that you look through. Lord, I pray, Lord, let our heart be right. And Lord, where our treasure is, Lord, let our heart be also for every person that's here. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Father, we just know, Lord, that you've made us rich because of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we're content with what we have because, Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord, we have everything that we really need in life, Lord, because we have you. But, Father, for those that may be struggling, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, even as they come this day, Lord, that you're going to bless them. Lord, just touch them, Lord, and change them, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Help them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing.